everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, where we are crazy enough to believe the world can change on the one and only Penguin Radio. So as we all know, the last presidential debate just finished up. I just finished watching it. As soon as I finished watching it, I came on here to talk to you guys. And so let's just unpack what we just saw, what just happened, the policies that were conversed over, and the rhetoric of both of the candidates, and how I feel. And so a lot of people after the debate are saying Trump won the debate. But I just want to bring attention to the fact that Trump was a bull in a china shop last debate, and he was just uncontrollable. So I really think that even if Trump just stayed quiet the entire debate tonight, he would have done better than he did last time, just because he set the bar so low. And so coming into tonight's debate, we had such a low expectation for Trump, as even in his town hall that he participated in last week was not good at all either. And so even though I'm grateful that his rhetoric and his tone was more civil and he didn't interrupt as much, I also realize that even if he did the bare minimum, which I believe he did, it would be seen as better. And I don't think tonight he necessarily had a great showing, but a lot of people are saying he won just because he improved himself. But I just don't think self-improvement warrants a win. It's just like if you run something in track and you have your PR, that doesn't mean that you won. That just means you did your personal best. And so maybe Trump did his personal best tonight, but in no sense did he win. His performance did not warrant a win at all. And I just think there should be an on-screen fact check for both of the candidates, honestly, but mostly for Trump, just because even though he necessarily wasn't as intrusive as he was in the past, he definitely just spewed a lot of lies and a lot of misleading facts, and his rhetoric wasn't the most factual. And so I think that a lot of Americans that don't necessarily fact check could be affected by this if they listen, and they're easily influenced, and they could just listen to this kind of hateful rhetoric that's honestly just not true at all. And so as I mentioned before, I do think Trump did better, but in no sense did he win. And I do appreciate the calmness, and I just don't appreciate the blatant lies that were spewed. And everything that people in positions of power say do influence and impact the American people, honestly. So I think being truthful is a part of your character, and I think we vote for character, honestly, as well. I feel like as though that's a huge factor when voting. We vote for character. And so Americans who just don't fact check, that could lead to bad things, because they're just believing lies that are being spewed at us, lies that are honestly just being spewed at them. And so let's just talk about what was actually said within the debate, what I agree with, and what I the good, the bad, the ugly. Let's just all talk about it. And so Donald Trump notably stated within the debate that he's the least racist person in the room. I just want to bring up that there was a black female moderator, and his entire family was within the room. So I'm glad that he believes that he is the least racist person in that room. I just find it a little ironic. And so he also said that he has done more for the African American community than anyone else. I'm not sure if he accidentally left out the word harm, but I find that sentence ironic too, as a nation we're going through national race reconciliation right now that's still left unresolved, and he has labeled the Black Lives Matter movement a hate group. And so I find that statement misleading and untruthful again, and just another lie. And so Biden even compared him to Abraham Lincoln, and he didn't understand the comparison at first, but what Biden was trying to say was that Abraham Lincoln was a racist president as well, and maybe just as racist as Donald Trump. And so when Trump stated that he has done so much for race and the only other president that compares to him is Abraham Lincoln, Biden capitalized on that and honestly took the offensive. And so I really enjoyed how Biden often is on the defensive, just because I feel as though he's a little more introverted than Trump is. And so I liked how in tonight's debate, Biden really chose to take the offensive, and especially just little things like comparing Trump to Abraham Lincoln. So I really enjoyed that. And so even though Trump was more civil, he did not get the big win that he really needed. And so what Trump really, really needed tonight was Biden to make a huge mistake, which Biden fortunately did not. And so Trump is still behind Biden in the polls by nearly 10 points. And not to mention that Biden also has a huge cash advantage right now. He's receiving so many donations right now, and historically, debates do not tend to really significantly affect elections this year. We know 2020 is unpredictable and crazy, so this year might be different. But especially this late within the election season, this last debate is honestly for entertainment purposes. A lot of Americans have already cast their vote, and so we have to keep in mind the millions of people that have already voted, and there is an unprecedented small amount of undecided voters, so it might be harder than ever for Trump to make a comeback, unless something crazy happens, which I'm not ruling it out, because this year has been full of crazy stuff happening. And so in 2016, undecided voters, last minute voters on election day, honestly saved Trump. And I just don't think that will be realistic this year, as most people are voting early. And I saw a poll earlier that stated most votes will actually be in by next Friday, and so that's so interesting, and I'm so glad that so many people are taking advantage of their privilege to vote. Not privilege, your right to vote. And so overall, Trump's first debate performance obviously was very poor, so there's just such a low bar for him to clear. And so the issues that were covered throughout the debate were COVID-19, family separation at the border, minimum wage, and justice reform. And I just really enjoyed and loved how both candidates were really able to speak over more policies rather than just attacking one another. There were still attacks on each side, but there was more policy and more political discourse than there had been in other debates. And so Biden was really able to address the American people, which I feel as though he worked on and he really wanted to do. And he was able to do this, and I feel as though this was part of his strategy. And speaking of strategy, Trump chose to refer back to why Biden did not achieve his proposed plans when he was vice president for 8 years with Obama. And I found this really interesting and actually a good tactic that Trump used, because it did make me wonder, why didn't Biden implement these policies when he was vice president for 8 years? And will he be able to get them done in his next term if he is elected? And so Trump did do a good job on that strategy, and I feel as though that's a strategy he practiced as well. And so when he utilized that strategy, Biden just responded that he wasn't the president, he was the vice president, and if you elect him, he will be the president, and will make sure these policies are implemented. And so Trump also stayed relatively calm for the first 40 minutes, I thought. But then after that, he slowly uncovered the facade and revealed his old tendencies, bringing up Biden's son and family. And Biden just really said, this isn't about my family. This is about your family. Your family that's struggling. I know what it's like to be a middle class citizen, and so I feel as though that really struck a chord with a lot of the American people, and was a very good statement that he made. And so overall, I think this was a civil debate and much better than the last one, and it may have helped the American people. As I said, there's not many undecided voters, just because just the political climate right now is so polarized. And so just as a reminder, go out and vote and utilize your right to have your voice heard. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution. I will be right back on Penguin Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, where we are crazy enough to believe the world can change on the one and only Penguin Radio. So you might have heard this is a huge story that just broke this past week. It's in similar fashion to stories that were happening in 2016 with the election as well. And it was spoke over at great lengths within the debate tonight. So Russian hackers are targeting state and local governments in the U.S. election. And so if you don't recall, this was a concern that was brought up in 2016 with Russian hackers invading the democratic process within the U.S. as well. And so it's a concern that's happening again this year. It's actually proven that it's happening this year as well. And not only is Russia doing it, many other countries are hacking with the American democratic process. And so this was talked over within the debate as well, and Biden and Trump discussed how these countries should honestly be punished for intervening within the democratic process within the U.S. And so Biden was very clear that fiscally these countries should be punished, while Trump almost avoided this question and stated that, you know what, I am kind of hard on Russia and this is what I've done, but the facts that he presented were honestly so misleading that I don't know what to think. And so let's just jump into what's happening right now. So attackers may be trying to gain footholds in U.S. computer networks to add subsequent efforts to undermine the American political process. And so federal agencies are warning of this, and this is especially happening within Florida, where intimidation is being utilized against voters. And so this is so scary, just because our democratic process is so valuable and it's so fragile as well. And so these places that are intervening, really, especially within 2020, now that we have mail-in ballots, and it just makes everything so much more complicated. And so, like I was saying, this has happened before in the past, especially within 2016. It was a huge area of concern and a huge area of debate. And so the Russian government is behind a recent campaign of cyber attacks on state and local governments and aviation networks that have stolen data from at least two victims. Federal officials released this statement on Thursday, this past Thursday, And so this just honestly raises more public alarm already. Americans are scared of their vote not being counted if they're doing a mail-in vote, or honestly if they're just doing it in person. And not even that, Americans are scared to go to the polls because we're in the middle of a global pandemic. And so this just adds more stress onto everything. Man, I tell you, what does 2020 not bring along? And so hackers have data from at least two servers who are victims, and so they are intentionally disrupting any aviation, education, elections, or government operations. And so in addition to this, there may be some risk to election information because the hackers are targeting state and local networks. The intelligence community has no evidence that integrity of elections. So some places are saying that the intelligence community has no evidence that integrity of elections data has been compromised, although several other networking places state that, you know, this data is at risk and it could have been compromised. And so hackers and Russian military intelligence infiltrated multiple state and local election offices during the 2016 campaign, and U.S. investigators later revealed saying the thefts included sensitive information on about 500,000 voters. At the time, federal officials said they had no indication that the hacks had altered the results or interfered with the election. And so this was a huge point of contention, even though in 2016, Donald Trump, everyone knows he won, he even stated, you know what? The election was hacked. And so imagine what he will do this year if he loses the election, which he might. And I wonder what concern he will bring up, because in 2016 when he won, it was a big point of contention that the election had been undermined by outside forces. And so U.S. intelligence analysts are monitoring Russian networks right now, and they have concluded that Moscow may use access to state and local networks to sow chaos if the election remains unresolved after polls close. And this will happen. I can almost guarantee this as I'm seeing it, because some states are counting mail-in ballots after November 3rd, some aren't. Some are counting votes on November 3rd. Some have already started counting votes. And so I definitely do not think we will have an answer on November 3rd. And so I think, especially for a lot of uneducated voters and just uneducated Americans in general, that will bring chaos, especially if you don't understand the democratic process, because democracy takes time. And I really do hope everyone understands that, but I have a bad feeling that not a lot of people do. And so when we don't, this isn't a traditional election, so we won't have a traditional answer on November 3rd like we usually do. And so it may take time. It may take a couple days afterwards, especially because of these states that have these laws that permit mail-in ballots to be counted afterwards. And it's just so crazy right now. And so officials did not make clear what Russia planned to do with this information in 2016 that they gained illegally, but they said its operations would be intended to help President Trump potentially by exasperating disputes around the results, especially if the race is too close to call, which it might be, because polls are so crazy and they're so unpredictable. We know all the polls in 2016 predicted that Hillary Clinton would win the election, no contest, and we've now had 3.5 years of President Trump. And so we all know that polls are oftentimes unreliable. And so I'm hate that all of this is happening, because we already have to deal with a crazy election happening right now within the midst of a global pandemic, and we have to deal with making a plan to vote, and whether we're voting in person, whether we're voting mail-in, and there's and while there's national race reconciliation as well, and so we have so many things on our plate, and we definitely do not need Russia coming in right now. Definitely do not. Thank you so much for listening to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio. I will be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, where we are crazy enough to believe that the world can actually change. Can you believe that? And we are on the one and only Penguin Radio. And so let's just talk a little bit about coronavirus. I know you're probably tired of hearing about COVID. By now, it's been going on too long, but we have to adjust to it, and it's our new normal, and it's our new life, honestly. And so, as we have been hearing about, and President Trump has been talking about, especially a COVID-19 vaccine, within the debates, he's notably has said several times that a vaccine will possibly be ready within the next couple of weeks, while a lot of health officials actually say this is probably not going to happen that fast, and especially to be able to get a vaccine out to the majority of the public that needs it, will take maybe even a year more. And so it's really hard to understand what's going on in terms of the vaccine and its progress, and if you'll be able to have it, and its availability, with these contrasting beliefs, because health officials are saying one thing while the President of the United States is saying another thing. But the FDA just obtained a COVID-19 vaccine meeting, and so I just want to talk about the contents of that meeting, what it means to you, what it means to me, and what I think. And so there's no specific vaccine on the table just quite yet. The committee is hearing from federal agencies and vaccine makers about their efforts to prove a shot is both safe and effective, and I think it's important to bring up whether or not the American people will trust taking this vaccine if it is offered and available to the public. Even in the vice presidential debate, Kamala Harris stated that if health officials recommend that she take the COVID-19 vaccine, she will gladly do it. But if President Trump recommends that she takes this COVID-19 vaccine, she won't, because, and that's understandable to me, because ultimately President Trump is not trained as a health official or health expert. Even this last week, he's been noted saying that Dr. Fauci is an idiot, because at first Dr. Fauci said, you know, we don't need to wear masks, but now we obviously, it's necessary for us to wear masks to slow the spread of the coronavirus pandemic. And I feel as though that's understandable, just because COVID is so new. It's not something we've lived with for years. And so while we adapt to a new virus, we have to learn what works best. And in this case, we have learned, and Dr. Fauci learned, that wearing a mask works best. So at first he believed, you know what, we don't have to wear masks. Now he knows we have to. And I think it's just important to make adjustments where adjustments are necessary. And so Donald Trump is calling him an idiot for this. And so I find it very interesting that a person who is not trained at all as a health official wants to be a health official so bad and make decisions that health officials should. And so as the President of the United States, he obviously is obligated to have his opinions, but I think sometimes he has to make informed opinions and he has to think about what he says before he says it. And so let's just move on and keep talking about the FDA meeting about the COVID-19 vaccine. So an expert panel advising the FDA on coronavirus vaccines wants more details on who is volunteering for trials and how research will ultimately continue if a shot is authorized for emergency use. And so the Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee is a panel of infectious disease experts, doctors, and federal scientists. And so they convened Thursday for the first in what is likely to be a string of meetings on COVID-19 shots. And so, as I said before, there is no specific vaccine on the table just quite yet. The committee is hearing from FDA agencies and federal agencies and vaccine makers about their efforts to prove a shot is both safe and effective. And so, although the FDA doesn't have to heed its committee's advice, it generally does. And so the vaccine panel has taken on an outsized importance against the backdrop of increasingly politicized coronavirus rhetoric. And so here are just some important takeaways, I think, from the meeting that happened with the FDA. And so, number one, trials have to keep going after a shot is authorized for emergency use. And this is so important. I think this is just basic statistics, honestly, because trial sizes are so important. And so you could have if you had a 900 people trial size, that's a large number, but that 900 people is ultimately not representative of the entire population of the United States. And so, especially within this time, and especially as we see new things and adapt to new things, we have to see what works best, as I mentioned before. And so it's just so important that trials continue even after a drug is developed. And even if that drug is fine, to just see how it could be better, because I think it's important in every single facet that everything can ultimately improve. And so the next one is experts are still concerned about a lack of diversity in clinical trials. And so diversity within clinical trials, again, is so important, and it's just a part of statistics, honestly, because diversity needs to be included, because America is obviously very diverse, and so trials need to be representative of the entirety of the United States. If this vaccine is going to be available for the entirety of the United States, it needs to be able to benefit the entirety of America. And so I think that's so important as well. And so anti-vaccine sentiments could hamper the rollout of a vaccine. And so I don't know if they're speaking over kind of Kamala Harris's rhetoric as well, when she stated that she wouldn't take a vaccine if Donald Trump said it, but if scientists would say it. And I think anti-vaccine rhetoric is harmful either way, whether it be a COVID-19 vaccine or the measles vaccine. I think anti-vaccine rhetoric is so harmful to society. And so I understand where they're coming from. And that could definitely be difficult to deal with when you're trying to roll out a new vaccine, especially for a new sickness that's so scary because it's so unknown. And so another important takeaway is past emergency use authorizations could haunt the government. And so there is a public perception currently in nowadays that an FDA emergency use authorization is a low bar that doesn't necessarily signal treatment that it's promising. And so they're just basically blaming the agency's recent decisions to greenlight hydroxychloroquine and other other kind of experimental medicines, and so those moves create a language problem, leaving the general public to assume that critical safety guidelines are curtailed, but that's really not this case. And so there are so many important aspects and facets when it comes to thinking about taking a vaccine. And so I know if scientists and health officials said, you know what, you should take this vaccine, I would definitely take the vaccine. And I'm in the same boat as Kamala Harris. If Donald Trump told me to take the vaccine, I would have to think twice, because even if anybody that wasn't a health official told me to take the vaccine, I would definitely not do it, because they just don't have the proper education or background to try to tell me the correct educated choice for me. And I'm glad that they're trying to include diversity within the trials, and that they're trying to make larger trial sizes so it is really representative of the people that will be using the vaccine. Thank you for tuning in to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on Penguin Radio, and I will be right back for our last segment. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, where we are crazy enough to believe that the world can change, and you are listening on the one and only Penguin Radio. So on this last segment here, I just want to talk about Obama, and I want to talk about Obama because Obama has actually hit the campaign trail as he campaigns for Joe Biden, his vice president, when he served as the president of the United States. And so I've been watching a lot of videos on Obama as he is on the campaign trail, and it's so interesting to see his rhetoric and the way he carries himself and how it's different. It's so much different than when he was president, and he speaks so much more freely now, and he's really just skewering Donald Trump as he's on the campaign trail. And he even said, he said something funny in one of his videos, and he stated, if I had a secret Chinese bank account, they would call me Beijing Barry. And that's just something you would have never heard Obama say before when he was president. So I am glad that he's campaigning for Joe Biden, not only because it is helping Joe Biden, honestly, I'm glad he's doing it because we're able to see this other side of Obama that we've honestly never really been able to see before, because he's been so conservative in the way he displays himself. And of course you have to when you're president. Donald Trump is not conservative in any sense of the way, though. He's so much less, he's the opposite of traditional. And so let's just talk about Obama on his campaign trail and what's happening, where he's been, and what I think. And so Donald Trump, he said, Donald Trump isn't suddenly going to protect all of us. And I think this is a really important quote, because it's interesting that Donald Trump is portraying himself as someone that is running for president for the first time. But it's interesting, we've had 3.5 years of Donald Trump. We know what it's like to live in Donald Trump's America. Donald Trump is making it seem that, you know, these next 4 years are going to be amazing because he's going to be president. But these last 3.5 years haven't been amazing because he's been president. And so I find it very interesting that he's utilizing this rhetoric that's almost like, hey, vote for me and it's going to be awesome. Like, we haven't already had 3.5 years of him that haven't been awesome. And so I think this quote is very powerful, that he's not suddenly going to protect all of us, because he hasn't protected all of us. And if he had, that would have been apparent in the last 3.5 years he served as president. And so former President Barack Obama unloaded on unloaded a bunch of stuff on Donald Trump this last Wednesday in Philadelphia when he was campaigning. And so Obama just hit Donald Trump with a lot of slams, and especially on how he handled the coronavirus pandemic, which has now killed more than 220,000 Americans. Can you even believe that? Americans on American soil. That is outstanding to me and so crazy. And it's just sad because those deaths could have been preventable. And so right now, nearly 8.4 million Americans are infected with the coronavirus pandemic. 8.4 million Americans right now are infected with COVID-19. And so this is another quote he said in an extension to the quote I mentioned earlier. Donald Trump isn't suddenly going to protect all of us. He can't even take the basic steps to protect himself, which is so true. If you watch the debate earlier today, Donald Trump wasn't even wearing a mask today. And I don't know if that's because he thinks he's suddenly immune to COVID-19 or if he just doesn't want to or if he's just stubborn. But he couldn't even protect himself from not contracting COVID because he didn't take precautionary measures. So how do you think he's going to protect the American people? And I don't know about you, but I really do want to president that has my interest in mind, or at least pretends like he does. And with Donald Trump, that's just not the case. And so ex-president, I guess, Barack Obama even stated, "This idea that somehow this White House has done anything but completely screw this up is just not true." And Barack Obama also said his administration left a pandemic playbook. And so they drafted this after the Ebola outbreak that was largely ignored by Donald Trump. And so I find this so interesting that Barack Obama left a pandemic playbook. And even when the pandemic is rolling around and so many people warned Donald Trump, hey, like, there's a pandemic on its way, maybe you should do something, he didn't do anything. And so while he's on the campaign trail, he also praised Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and he stated that they would do a good job at leading the nation through this pandemic. And so he stated, and I quote, "They actually care about every American, including the ones that don't agree with them. And they're going to fight for you every day. They care about you and they care about this democracy." And so I really think that this rhetoric is super effective, especially how he's juxtaposing Donald Trump and Joe Biden and their administrations, and not even their policies, but their humanity and how they care for other people. And so this fundamental contrast is just so effective, and I think will be great for Joe Biden's campaign. And honestly, like I've said before in other segments, there are not that many undecided voters right now, but if there are undecided voters and they hear this, oh boy, I hope they choose the right choice. And so the two-term president Barack Obama speech seemed tailor-made to provoke a response from Trump. And so Trump has been promoting the conspiracy theory that Obama was not born in the United States and has delighted in demolishing his predecessor's legacy during his time in the White House. And so Barack Obama even stated he hasn't shown any interest in doing the work or helping anybody but himself and his friends, or treating the presidency like a reality show he can use to get attention. And by the way, even then, his TV ratings are down, so you know that upsets him. And so again, I do enjoy seeing this raw, unedited side of Barack Obama that we've never really been able to see before, just because he's been so conservative with the way he carries himself. And I don't blame him, because even when he wore a tan suit to the Oval Office, everyone was like, oh my God. I miss those days when the biggest conspiracy theory our president had was wearing a tan suit to the Oval Office. It wasn't all this crazy stuff. And so he also stated, and with Joe and Kamala at helm, you're not going to have to think about the crazy things they said every day. And that's worth a lot. It just won't be so exhausting. And like I was just saying, it's exhausting to have a president that is the opposite of normal. It's not normal for a president to have so many sexual allegations against him. It's not normal for a president to just speak his mind on Twitter. And it's just not normal. And the fact that people are condoning this weird behavior is so weird to me. It's not normal to have a president that's never had government experience before. I always use this example of, even when I apply to jobs, they ask me, have you ever had experience within this? And if I say no, that's probably a bad thing and they're not going to hire me. And it's weird that we have hired someone in the highest position of the land to just be in that job when they have no experience whatsoever. And so it's just not normal. And so Barack Obama has done a great job at expressing this, and I love that he has, because so many people are able to condone it, which is crazy to me. But overall, I am glad that President Barack Obama is on the campaign trail campaigning for Joe Biden, because I feel like that will do Joe Biden a really great service. And I am glad that he is kind of out of his comfort zone a little bit more, and so he's able to be less conservative with what he says. Well, thank you for listening to Welcome to the Resistance this week. I will be back next week on Friday, and you are listening to The Resistance with your host, DJ Revolution, on the one and only Penguin Radio. I'll see you guys next week.